الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we have begun reading in the chapter باب قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالجماعة. The chapter with regards to the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بِالْجَمَاعَةِ, that you must adhere and hold fast to the jama'ah. And we have seen a number of benefits with regards to this. And the author, he mentioned three verses from the Book of Allah and a number of narrations. From that he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. We have seen a number of benefits with regards to this noble verse, and the shahid here in this chapter is the order to hold fast to the rope of Allah, meaning to the Quran and the Sunnah, and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hold fast to the deen of Allah, hold fast to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the true reality of the jama'ah, as has been narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned, إِنَّ الْجَمَاعَ مَنْ وَافَقَ الْحَقِّ مَنْ وَافَقَ الْحَقِّ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ وَحْدَكَ, that the jama'ah is the one who is in accordance with the truth, even if you are alone. And another wording, مَنْ وَافَقَ الْطَاعَ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ وَحْدَكَ, the one who is in accordance to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inwardly and outwardly. So we're ordered to hold fast to the deen of Allah, to the obedience of Allah, to the Quran and to the Sunnah, and to that which the best of this Ummah was upon, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een. And this is well known. But along with that, there's the prohibition of being divided. And division happens in a number of ways. And at the head of that is to disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, in the well-known narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تدابروا ولا تباغضوا ولا تناجشوا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا, that you should not turn your backs on one another, and you should not despise and hate one another, until the end of the narration. And O slaves of Allah, you must be brothers. A number of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that from the means of a tadabur wa tabaghud, from the means that lead to dissension and turning their backs on each other and despising and hating each other, is falling into innovation. So the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tadabaru wa la tabaghadu, do not turn your backs on one another, do not despise and hate one another, this is a prohibition for innovation. And in this is a prohibition for innovation, because from the greatest means that will cause dissension and separation and turn the hearts away from each other and cause the ranks to be divided, is that innovations will be introduced into the deen of Allah. And from the outcomes of innovation is that it creates dissension, and the people, they start to follow different parties and sects and different ideologies and ways, contrary to the way of the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So we must hold fast to the rope of Allah, and need to the proper understanding of the deen, inwardly and outwardly, in knowledge and in application. And knowledge and an application, and avoiding all the means that lead to dissension. At the head of that is falling away from this way and holding on to customs and holding on to cultures, or following desires and whims and contradiction and conflict with the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next verse the author mentioned, وَقَوْلِهِ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ السَّبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ. The meaning of this noble verse is that, and whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the guidance has been made clear to him, and after he's seen the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and it's clear the proper understanding of the affairs in the religion, and then he chooses a way after that other than the way of the believers, and he following other than the way of the companions and those who followed them precisely, bi ihsan, then Allah will leave them to that which they have chosen and land them in the hellfire, and this is the worst of all destination. And we have seen that this is an obligation here for following the companions. And likewise, it's an evidence and proof, as mentioned by Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, of the fact that the ijma' and the consensus of the people of knowledge is an evidence and proof. So it's not allowed to oppose the jama'ah, the jama'ah, yani meaning those who are upon, it's not allowed to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor to oppose the way of the companions or that which the believers have a consensus upon in any generation from throughout history. So this is an obligation of following the way of the Salaf and also not opposing them in that which they have a consensus with regards to. And then there's a threat for those who do this upon knowledge that they will be left to what they have chosen from their desires, that will be made to appear fair-seeming in their heart, that falsehood will be decorated in their heart, and they will follow that way and prefer it until they die upon falsehood, and they will burn and taste the agonies and punishment of the hellfire, and this is the worst of all destination. And then after this, the author, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ وَقَوْلِهِ, in the statement of Allah, the Most High, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, do not be from the pagans. Do not be from the polytheists, the idol worshippers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned from their greatest traits, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا, those who have divided their religion into different sects and different parties. So this is the reality of shirk. And likewise, after that, the reality of innovation, that it divides the people. That it divides the people and the people. And the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in every generation, there are different groups and different sects, all of them worshiping different idols and calling on different lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one thinking that his god or his idol is superior to the other. And it's all falsehood, and it's all evil, and it's all a lowly and a foul way. And likewise, even after that as well, the innovations and the newly introduced ideologies and ways and methodologies of worship and the likes like this, all of them following different sects, believing that their way is best, and believing that their way is better, when in reality it's all in contradiction to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's all leading to the anger of Allah and to the hellfire. It's all leading to the anger of Allah and the hellfire. But the great principle that is established in the deen is that al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense is according to the type of action. So a person who does good, he will be recompensed with good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, is the recompense for good anything except for good? Meaning the recompense for good is nothing except for good. And those who work good, then they will have the best. Then those who work good, then their rewards, then their deeds will be accepted, and their reward will be multiplied. And their reward will be multiplied, and they will have great happy and joy. Happiness and joy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who work bad deeds, then their outcome will be evil. And their outcome will be according to their actions. And a person who chooses misguidance and deviation in opposition to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the upright believers, after that, after it has been made clear to him, he'll be left to that. He'll be left to that misguidance, and it will be made fair seeming for him, and he will follow that way and prefer it. He'll think he's on a good path. This is from the ways that the deviant, they're led astray because of their desires and their whims whenever they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this is a great principle as well, that people of knowledge have derived from the likes of these evidences. Kullu man taraka al-haqa wa ahlahu ubtuliya bil batil wa ahlihi. Everyone who leaves the truth and his people, everyone who abandons the truth and his people, then he'll be tried with falsehood in his people. Those who turn away from the truth and they do not accept it and they abandon it, especially after it's clear for them, and they turn away from the people of truth, then it's inevitable that they will be tried with falsehood, and they will be tried with the people of falsehood. And many times a person, he will be left to his desires, and he will begin to prefer the ways of falsehood and the people of falsehood because he had rejected the command of Allah and the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So many verses and evidence is clarifying this. From that Allah, he mentioned in his book, فَلِيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, that let them take precaution, let them beware. فَلِيَحْذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, let them take precaution, let them beware, those who oppose the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a warning from opposing the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we see in this verse here. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى فَرِيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. If you put these two verses together in contrast, you see the intent from this. And similarly like that, what has happened to the previous nations? فَلَمَّا زَابُوا أَزَابَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Whenever they deviated and they preferred their desires and their whims over the application of the knowledge that they were favored with, referring to the Jews and the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. He caused their hearts to deviate, meaning falsehood and evil became decorated to them, and they liked it and preferred it, and they followed it until they died upon a foul way. They had a bad ending. And from the worst things, rather the worst thing that could happen in life is that a person, he would die in a foul and a lowly manner upon disobedience, upon disbelief, or upon disbelief, or upon disobedience, or upon innovation and misguidance, or following one's desires. So the greatest karama, like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, rahimahullah, a'azam al-karama, luzum al-istiqama. The greatest miracle and honor that one can obtain is that he will remain steadfast and upright upon the obedience of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he dies. Until he dies, he will die upon goodness. He will die in a good manner. And he will die, and the angels will come to him, giving him salam. Salamun alaykum tibatum. They will say to you, you did a good job, you did well, granting him salam. The agonies and the sorrow and the hardship and difficulties of this life will end, and he will go to the next life, and it will be nothing but good for him. It will be nothing but good for him. But as for those who have a bad ending, what do you have to be left? Then it's contrary. From the means of having a bad ending is opposing the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while it's clear for them. While it's clear for them. And choosing that way. So this is what is mentioned here. وَلَا تُكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Don't be from the pagans and polytheists. Don't be from those who take rivals along with Allah and worship. عَلَدِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. Those who divided their religion, وَكَانُوا شِيعًا. And they became different parties and different sects. Different parties and different sects. So likewise, the believers, the muwahidun, those who sing Allah alone for worship. They do not make shirk. They're forbidden from resembling the pagans and polytheists and any of their traits, especially in polytheism. But even if a person, he did not fall into shirk, but he fell into innovation and misguidance and following desires, he will now become divided and have a resemblance to the mushrikeen. And then he will likewise is exposing himself to the same threat that they're exposed with, and that which will happen to them. Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. Every party from amongst them, or each group from amongst them, and every party rejoicing over its way. So this particular point here is from the affairs of al-Jahiliyyah that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Masail al-Jahiliyyah. And he said on the point with regards to this verse here, وَمِنْ عَجَائِبِ آيَةِ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا أَعْرَضُوا عَنْ وَصِيَّةِ اللَّهِ بِالِاجْتِمَاعِ وَارْتَكَبُوا مَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ مِنَ الْإِفْتِرَاقِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ عَاقَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ جَعَلَ كُلَّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ من الباطل فرحين من عجائب آية الله. It's from the amazing signs of Allah. أنهم لما أعرض عن وصية الله. Whenever they turned away from the order of Allah. لما أعرض عن وصية الله بالاجتماع. Whenever they turned away from the order of Allah to be united. وارتكبوا ما نهوا عنه. وارتكبوا ما نهوا عنه من الافتراق. And whenever they perpetrated that which they were forbidden from. From dividing into different sects, عَقَبَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ جَعَلَ كُلَّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ فَرِحِينَ. That Allah, He punished them because of that, and He caused every party from amongst them to be pleased and happy, rejoicing over the falsehood that they're upon. And if we also keep this in contrast with the verses that we read in our previous class, فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّكَ دِيمَتِينَ. This is something that a believer, he should fear. He should fear the punishment of Allah. He should fear the decree of Allah and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should strive against the soul to follow the knowledge and to follow the light that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after this, the author, he mentioned a number of narrations. From that, he mentioned the narration of Umar radiallahu anhu. And we see that this narration is actually a portion of a narration. We read these evidences again briefly and review them before continuing from where we stopped off. And we've seen that this narration here is narrated by At-Tirmidhi and other than him, rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's authentic. And At-Tirmidhi, he mentioned this narration fi kitab al-fitn. Bab ma ja'a fi luzum al-jama'ah, in the chapter with regards to the trials and tribulations. in the book of trials and tribulations in the chapter with regards to the obligation, or with regards to that which has come about the obligation of holding fast and adhering to the jama'ah. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave a khutbah in Al-Jabiyah. He gave a khutbah in Al-Jabiyah, which is a village in Dimashq. And then he mentioned to the people that he's standing in front of them and establishing that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to stand in front of them and establish. And then he narrated to them a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whenever he said, "Usikum bi ashabi, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum." He said, I order you to honor and respect and hold fast with the way of my companions. And then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. ثُمَّ يَشْفُ الْكَذِبُ حَتَّى يَحْلِفَ الرَّجُلُ حَتَّى يَحْلِفَ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يُسْتَحْلَفُ حَتَّى يَحْلِفَ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يُسْتَحْلَفُ وَيَشْهَدَ الشَّاهِدُ وَلَا يُسْتَشْهَدُ. And then after these generations, lying will become widespread until a person, he will swear and he's not asked to swear, and he will bear witness and he will give testimony. He's not asked to do that, meaning he will swear and bear witness upon lies. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ and give false testification, and evils will spread later after this generation. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Alla la yakhluwanna rajulun bimra'atin illa kana thalithuhuma ash-shaytan." And indeed, no man should be alone with the strange woman, except no man will be alone with the strange woman except that the devil is the third of them, meaning enticing them to commit sin, to fall into fornication and the impermissible lusts. And the evidence comes for this chapter, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Alaykum bil jama'ah wa iyyakum wal furqa," that you must hold fast to the jama'ah and be cautious and avoid, stay away from al furqa. Iyyakum, yani uhadhirukum al furqa. Iyyakum, alaykum bil jama'ah, ilzamu al jama'ah, ilzamu al jama'ah, hold fast and adhere to the congregation. Wa iyyakum wal furqa, yani uhadhirukum al furqa, and I warn you from being divided. I warn you from division and dissension and separation in the ranks. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدِ. Because indeed the devil is along with a lone individual. And as for whenever there's two together, then he's further away from them. He's further away from them. And the example has been mentioned that a person who is alone and away from the believers is like a sheep who is away from the flock. And the sheep, the lone sheep who's away from the flock, he's very easy for the wolf to have his way with. And he will be harmed and possibly killed. And this is what will happen to the wolf. The wolf will eat the sheep and harm the sheep that is alone and away from the flock. So this is the example. Whenever a person, he goes away from the congregation of those who are upon the truth, then he's left to be exposed to the plots and the traps and the whispers of the devil from the jinn and from mankind. But whenever a believer is together with his brother on the truth, or with other brothers on the truth, they become strong in this manner. With the khawwa, a Muslim will be akhihi. A believer, he's strong with his brother. Whenever a believer is along with his brothers and they're together for the sake of Allah, not for a worldly matter, they're strong together. And shaitan is further from them. And the help of Allah will come likewise, as has been mentioned, Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah, as has come in the authentic narrations, Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah, that the hand of Allah is on the congregation, meaning that they will have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the aid and support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, that is from the evidence is establishing the fact that the hand of Allah is affirmed in the manner befitting His Majesty. So after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues in this narration, and all of this advice is coming here. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man arada buhbuhat al-jannah, falyalzam al-jama'ah." Whoever is hoping for the best part of Jannah, then let him hold fast to the jama'ah. "Waman sarratuhu hasanatuhu wa sa'atuhu sayyatuhu fadhalika al-mu'min." And whoever is pleased whenever he does good deeds, and he is sad and unhappy whenever he does bad deeds, then this one, he is a believer. And this is a sign of a true believer, that whenever he does good deeds, he feels good, alhamdulillah, and he's happy and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever he does bad deeds, disobeys Allah, it affects him, and he knows that he did wrong, and he feels bad for violating those rights. After this, the author, he says, mentioning the statement of At-Tirmidhi in his commentary on this narration and other narrations that came along in this chapter. وقال التلمذي رحمه الله تفسير الجماعة عند أهل العلم هم أهل الفقه والعلم والحديث. That the interpretation of the jama'ah according to the people of knowledge. According to the people of knowledge, it is the people of fiqh and the people of ilm and the people of hadith. And the people who have sound understanding in the religion, the people who have proper and correct knowledge, and they're the people of the narrations, known for abiding by the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we've seen in the previous chapter likewise that from the virtue of the people of knowledge that they are a place of reference, that they are a place of return and reference. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So we must ask the people of knowledge if we do not know. So if somebody, he was unaware of the interpretation of the word jama'ah, then he has to ask the people of knowledge. At-Tirmidhi, may Allah reward him, is clarifying for us the interpretation of the people of knowledge for this particular term. The jama'ah, who are they? They are the people of knowledge and understanding, the people of narration, the people of hadith, So then we must understand the understanding of the people of knowledge and refer back to them whenever things are not clear. So again, the jama'ah is not the majority. The jama'ah is not the majority. We've seen a number of evidences clarifying that. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Rather, the majority of the people, they do not comprehend. But the majority of mankind, they do not know. And rather, the majority of the people, they do not show thanks. And Allah, He mentions that the majority of the people, they detest the truth. And the majority of the people, they do not believe. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. All of these evidences have come in the previous class, clarifying that the jama'ah is not, that the majority of the people is not considered the jama'ah here in these evidences. Because the majority of the people are misguided. The majority of the people are deviant. The majority of people follow their desires and do not hold fast to the deen of Allah properly in the manner prescribed. And that's why those who truly hold fast to the deen of Allah properly in the manner prescribed are described with al-ghurba. They're described with al-ghurba. They're considered strangers. And in comparison to the rest of mankind, they're strange because of their creed. They're strange because of their tawheed. They're strange because of their belief, because of the application of the religion, because they hold fast to the rope of Allah and let go of the desires and let go of the customs and the cultures of the people. And now they become strange. But one, he should not despair. Rather, he should have glad tidings. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. And glad tidings to the strangers. And glad tidings, so give glad tidings to the strangers. After this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, which also is a portion of a narration. This narration here is very famous and well known. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, I read the entire wording. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wasallam, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مِنَّا حَدِيثًا فَحَفِظَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِغَهُ غَيْرَهُ. That may Allah enlighten the face of a person. And this is a dua from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, بِالنَّضَارَةِ الْوَجْهِ. وَالنَّضَارَةِ هِيَ الْحُسْنِ وَالْبَهَاءِ وَالْجَمَالِ. Meaning that the person's face would be enlightened with light and with beauty and become handsome. So may Allah enlighten the face of a person who hears a narration from us and he memorizes it in order to convey it to others. فَإِنَّهُ رُبَّ حَمِلِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقِيهٍ. Maybe someone is carrying knowledge, but he doesn't understand it properly. Maybe there's someone carrying knowledge, he doesn't understand it properly. This is very beneficial. And we see today that there are many people carrying knowledge, but they do not understand it properly. So many people that we see today, maybe he memorized the entire Quran from the beginning to the end. And maybe he can recite it fluently and never make one mistake in the recitation or in the memorization, but at the same time he opposes it in its fundamentals and foundations, and he calls on graves besides Allah. وَلِيَهَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Calling on the dead and hoping and fearing the people in the grave, or even slaughtering for the jinn, so on and so forth. And all of this is from the greatest violations of the greatest commandments and obligations in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So maybe he's carrying knowledge, but he doesn't understand it. We have seen that there are people who carry knowledge, but they have deviation in their heart. There are people who carry knowledge, but they have deviation in their heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from them. He warned us from them in warning Aisha radiallahu anha, fahdharuhum. Ulaika alladhina samma Allah, fahdharuhum. Those are the ones that Allah has mentioned, so you must watch out for them. And there are people of knowledge in general, but their understanding of that knowledge is corrupted. It's corrupted. فَإِنَّهُ رُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقْهٍ. Because maybe someone is carrying knowledge, but he doesn't understand it correctly. وَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ. And maybe someone will carry knowledge to someone who understands it better than him. To someone who understands it better than him. And he maybe will memorize a verse, or memorize a hadith, or memorize some statements of the people of knowledge, and then we'll mention that to someone, to another brother or another student of knowledge, and maybe he will derive from that benefits and rulings that we did not even think of or never even crossed our mind. Or maybe we can read one hadith, maybe we can read one verse or read one hadith, and we'll see one benefit or two benefits, or we can mention three rulings or four rulings, and somebody else may read the same hadith or read the same verse or read the same ayat and derive from that so many and countless benefits and countless rulings and the likes from these affairs. So this is all established in this narration. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the narration here that the author, he mentioned the portion of the narration here that the author is referring to. ثَلَاثُ خِصَالًا لَا يَغِلُّ لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ مُسْلِمٍ أَبَدًا. That there are three traits that the heart of a Muslim will never find any hardship or rancor or animosity ever. He will never have any hard feelings in his heart if he obtains these three traits. The first one, إِخْلَاصُ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ, that he makes the actions, sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah. We've seen some benefits with regards to this in our previous class. Alhamdulillah. The second one, which is the shahid. The second one and the third one, which is the shahid. وَمُنَاصُحَاتُ وَلَاتِ الْأَمْرُ. And to sincerely advise and consult the, and to sincerely give advice to the people of authority. وَلُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ, to hold fast to the congregation. And to hold fast and adhere to the jama'ah. فَإِنَّ دَعْوَتَهُمْ تُحِيطُ مَنْ وَرَاءَهُمْ. Because their call, it encompasses those around them. And meaning that the believers, whenever they obey the Muslim authority and they're united in general behind that government, then they're protected by the call of that Islam. And they're protected by the government and their unity together. But whenever they become divided and they start to fight one another, at this time the enemies of that Islam, they pick them off one by one. They pit them against each other, and chaos and bloodshed and all types of turmoil comes into the ranks of the believers, and humiliation befalls the ummah in this manner. But whenever they're together, فَإِنَّ دَعْوَتَهُمْ تُحِيطُ مِنْ وَرَاءَهُمْ. It's like their da'wah, the call of Islam, and the unity that they have. And the unity that they have, it protects them like it's a fence guarding them and around them. Guarding them and around them. With regards to the issue here, مُنَاصَحَةُ Wulati al-amr, the issue of advising the Muslim rulers, the one who is sincere, and he does what he can to give advice to the Muslim rulers, then likewise he will not have any rancor or animosity in his heart. If he's someone who has a connection with them and he's able to go to them and speak to them and advise them, then he will do that. If he's able to write them and to send letters to them, so on and so forth, then he will do that. And if he's not able to do that, then he's sufficed. And the least he will do is make dua for them. And this is from the methodology of Ahl Sunnah from the days of old, that they supplicate and they call on Allah to rectify the Muslim rulers. They do not make dua against the Muslim rulers. This is the point that's going to be established here. Because if the ruler is rectified and upright, then the society will be good. And if the ruler is corrupted and deviant, then the problems are going to fall on the society first and foremost. So they're not hoping for the ruler to be corrupted and to be misguided. They're not making dua against him, rather they're making dua for him. They're hoping that Allah will rectify him, And likewise, the ruler, he only comes from amongst society that he lives in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And like this, we set in authority the oppressors one over another because of the deeds that they used to do. So the ruler, he comes from the society. So if the people, they oppress their own souls by violating the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and showing no concern for the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the commandments of Allah and establishing the obligations, and they perpetrate and violate the prohibitions like they're nothing, then Allah will recompense them according to the debt, and he will set in authority over them those who will humiliate them and cause problems for them and disrespect them the way they disrespect the command of Allah. كَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. All of these affairs are established in the book and in the sunnah. And this is the benefit of having knowledge and the importance of seeking knowledge in the right and proper manner and from the correct sources, because it will shed light on the affairs. It will help you to be able to see in the darkness of desires and whims and the oceans of misguidance and deviation and the likes, because the people of misguidance and the people who are in contradiction to these principles, they have doubts and misconceptions. And the one who does not have knowledge, he will be affected by that. He'll be affected by that, especially if he does not have strong determination to hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. And he'll be overcome by those doubts because of his desires and whims that he has in his heart. What do you have to be left? So the people of knowledge, they have clarified the means of making munasaha. Making munasaha li wali al-amr, the way to advise the Muslim ruler. It's not by going on the minbar and talking bad about him or spreading his ills on Twitter and on WhatsApp. All of this is from the ways that bring corruption and they do not bring rectification. These are from the ways of the Khawarij and not from the ways of the people of the Sunnah. It has been connected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, and he is known as Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulillah. Hibbu Rasulillah ibn Hibbi Rasulillah. Hibbu Rasulillah ibn Hibbi Rasulillah. He is the Zayd ibn Haritha. He's known as the beloved one of the Messenger of Allah. And Usama ibn Zayd, he is the beloved one who is the son of the beloved one of the Messenger of Allah. And from the closest people to the Messenger of Allah is Zayd ibn Haritha and his son Usama. And his son Usama radiallahu anhu. So this is a narration from Usama ibn Zayd. Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulullah. He says, it was mentioned to him, أَلَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَى عُثْمَانَ فَتُكَلِّمَهُ. Do you not go to Uthman and give him advice? And this is in the time of the Khilaf Uthman, whenever there is great turmoil. And the Khawarij were rising up and preparing the revolutions in these days. And there was issues and troubles that were occurring. So somebody said to Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhumah, أَلَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَى عُثْمَانَ فَتُكَلِّمَهُ. Do you not go to Uthman and give him advice? رضي الله عنه قال إنكم لترون أني لا أكلمه إلا أسمعكم. Said, you all think that I don't talk to him except if I let you know or let you hear? Do you think that I do not advise him and talk to him except by letting you know and let you hear? And then he said, إني أكلمه في السر دون أن أفتح بابا لا أكون أول من فتحه. He said, indeed, I speak to him in private. I'm not going to be the first one to open the door. I'm not going to open the door and be the first one to open the door. Meaning open the door to fitna and trials and tribulations by speaking outwardly and advising outwardly the Muslim ruler. So this is something that is established from the beginning. They said to him, aren't you going to advise the Muslim ruler? And Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he says, you think that I only advise him if I let you hear it? And then he says, but I do advise him, but I do that between me and him privately. And this is the proper way to advise the Muslim ruler, because advising on the minbar and advising in public, publicizing his problems and his ills and opposing him in this manner, it riles up the society against him and it causes the people to have enmity towards him, and then eventually they revolt against him, and then bloodshed follows and chaos and turmoil follows and loss of loved ones and life follows and detention and separation follows, and it's just nothing but chaos. And those who laugh and rejoice are the enemies of Islam, from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans. Wa iyyadhu billah. Ibn Rajab mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says a number of great benefits about this affair. This is in his commentary in Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, the narration Ad-Din al-Nasiha. But we summarize, he says here, وَكَانَ السَّلَفُ إِذَا أَرَادُوا نَصِيحَةَ أَحَدٍ وَعَذُوهُ سِرًّا حَتَّى وَعَذُوهُ سِرًّا وَكَانَ السَّلَفُ إِذَا أَرَادُوا نَصِيحَةَ أَحَدٍ وَعَذُوهُ سِرًّا. That indeed the Salaf, the pious predecessors, if they intended to advise someone, they would admonish him privately. And this is very important, because there's a difference between nasiha and fadhiha. There's a difference between giving somebody sincere advice and exposing someone's faults and making that known. So if you want to give someone advice and it's sincere, and nasiha is yani and nasiha hiya iradatu al-khayr liman suhila, that you want good for the person you're advising. So in nasiha, it has the meaning of al-ikhlas. In the Arab they say about al-asl, al-asl al-nasih, yay, ay al-asl al-safi al-khalis. Al-asl al-safi al-khalis. What the pure honey, they call it asl nasih. Nas from a nasiha, meaning that it's pure. So the heart of the one who's going to give advice, it must be pure. He wants nothing but good for that person. So if that's the case, and the heart is pure, only wanting good for the one he's advising, he will not expose him in public. He will not expose him in public. That's not nasiha, that's fadiha. This is exposure. And the one who exposes others, he's not hoping good for them. He's not looking out for their best interest. Many times they're following whims and desires. So he says, وَكَانَ السَّلَفُ إِذَا أَرَادُوا نَصِيحَةَ أَحَدٍ وَأَضُوهُ سِرًّا, that the Salaf, if they ever intended to advise somebody, they would admonish him in private. حَتَّى قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ مَنْ وَعَذَ أَخَاهُ مَنْ وَعَذَ أَخَاهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ فَهِيَ نَصِيحَةً, until some of them, they have mentioned that whoever admonishes his brother and that which is between him and him personally, then indeed he gave him, then indeed this is nasiha, then this is sincere advice. وَمَنْ وَعَذَهُ حَتَّى وَمَنْ وَعَذَهُ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ وَبَّخَهُ, and as for the one who admonishes him in front of all of the people, then he's only belittling him. Then he's only belittling him. This is not admonishment, this is belittlement. This is belittlement, meaning that person, he didn't have a good intention. He mentioned a narration from Al-Fudayl, Yani Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. He died in the year 187. He says, Al-mu'minu yasturu wa yansahu, wal-fajiru yahtiku wa yu'ayyiru. The believer, he covers the people's fault. He covers the people's faults and advises them privately. Yasturu wa yansahu. He'll cover and advise. The believer, he will cover and he'll advise. Why is that? The Al-mu'min. The word al-mu'min has a place here. Al-mu'min. Yasturu wa yansahu. Al-mu'min. He covers and advises. He doesn't just leave him in his misguidance or leave him to follow his desires or leave him in error. He would advise him. But whenever he advises him, he will not expose him. Rather, what would he do? He'll cover his fault and then advise him and admonish him in private, hoping that it will benefit. Al-mu'min. This is the way of al-mu'min. Because of another narration, which is in the 40 hadith, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. Now, one of you truly believes, now one of you is a mu'min, al-mu'min, a true believer, who has completed the rites of his faith, hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If somebody made a mistake right now, would you like for somebody to stand up and point you out in front of all of us? Would you like for somebody to stand up right now and point you out in front of all of us? Or if somebody's walking down the street, for example, and you slipped and fell, would you like for somebody, hey, look, he slipped and fell, and start laughing and pointing at you? Or would you like for him to cover you and make sure nobody sees you on the ground and help you up? Which one would you like? Huh? For him to cover you and help you up. Right? So that's giving sincere advice. That's the way of a believer. Because a believer, he would not like for somebody to expose him. He would not like for his faults to be exposed and made known and be spread all over Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp. Rather, he would like for his faults to be covered. And he would also like to be advised and directed and corrected. And corrected, because a believer, he's not looking to be upon error nor upon falsehood. But nobody's perfect. So sometimes we make mistakes. But the point is that a true believer, whenever he sees a mistake from his brother, he'll not leave him there. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'min mir'atu li'akhihi. Mir'atun li'akhihi. That a believer, he's like the mirror for his brother. So in a mirror, you see yourself and you see your blemishes and mistakes, or you see your blemishes and your faults, and you fix them and cover them up. And you fix them and cover them up. You look in the mirror, you see your hat is on wrong, you put it on right. You look in the mirror, you see a spot on your thobe, you wipe it off. Like this. So a believer for his brother is like that. He sees his hat on wrong, he'll set it straight for him. Barakallahu fiqh. He sees something on his shoulder, he'll wipe it off for him. He sees him slipping and falling in error, he'll tell him in a good manner, hoping that he'll benefit. Hoping that he will benefit. So al-mu'min yasturu wa yansah, wal-fajir yahtiku wa yu'ayyir. And as for the fajir, the corrupt and evil person, then he exposes and he blames and mentions the faults. He blames and mentions the faults. He mentioned here likewise, this is also from the benefits mentioned by Ibn Rajab rahimahullah. سئل ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن أمر السلطان بالمعروف ونهيه عن المنكر. That Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he was asked about ordering the person of authority with the good and forbidding him from evil. فقال إن كنت فاعلا ولا بد ففيما بينك وبينه ففيما بينك وبينه. He said رضي الله عنه that it's a must and you have to be the one to order the authorities with good and prohibit them from evil. And if you have to be the one to step up and to advise them, then do that between you and between him. Then do that between you and between him. You don't do that in public. So the status of the people of authority in the society is similar like the status of the father in the household. The father in the household. So if there's a father who has deviated or has faults or has errors, for example, there's a father who's drinking alcohol, would the family members go onto the street and publicize that? Or would they take pictures of their father and show the community so that they can find fault and blame him? Would that be considered giving advice? They want to help their father stop drinking alcohol, so they expose him all over the society and in public and in the different means of communication? Or would they cover his fault and try to advise him privately time after time after time after time? And if they expose him, and if they oppose him, what may happen to them? Do you think their father is going to like that? Maybe their father is going to have an iron hand. Maybe he's going to get heavy. Maybe he's going to kick them out of the home. Maybe he's going to punish them. Maybe he's going to do a number of things. It's not going to be in their best interest to oppose their father, even though he's wrong. So they will advise him gently, and they'll advise him in a nice manner. But even then, it's not allowed for them to call him names, even if a Muslim, is trying with the father who drinks alcohol. It's not allowed for him to call his father drunk. Oh, he's a drunk, or he's a this, or he's a that. This is not allowed. Even if the father was a pagan, called into shirk, it's still not allowed to talk bad to him and to be rude to him and to harm him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And if your parents, they strive against you to cause you to make shirk with me, then you do not obey them, but you accompany them in this life in goodness. So it's even if the parents went to this extreme, trying to get the believer to make shirk, the believer would disobey them in that. But it's still not allowed for him to harm them or be rude to them. He will disobey them with honor. He'll disobey them with dignity. If a Muslim's father asked him to go to the store to get alcohol for him, or if maybe we have some fathers or mothers that are Christians, for example, when they ask us to go get some pork for them or swine for them, or to order a pepperoni pizza for them, for example, from Domino's and the likes like this. This one, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. You cannot cooperate upon sin and transgression. So here, you have to disobey your mother or your father. But when you do that, you have to do that with justice, and you have to do that with kindness. And with kindness and not disrespectful. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. This is the beauty about Islam. So you obey Allah absolutely, and you obey your parents, but only whenever they order that which is good. And if they order that which is wrong or against the religion, you do not obey them. But in disobeying them, you're kind and you're gentle and you're nice. So I apologize. My father or my mother, I love you very much, but alcohol, it's forbidden in my religion. I cannot drink it, nor can I buy it or carry it or transport it. Swine is forbidden in my religion. I can't eat it, nor can I sell it, or I cannot cooperate upon that way. Any other thing, anything else you need, I'll go get it for you. Let me get you some juice, or let me get you some milk, or I can go get you this and that. And the likes like this, and you excuse yourself in a good manner. This is how you deal with your father. This is very clear, right? In the society, the ruler, he has the position of the father, and the relationship is very similar. If you oppose your father in that manner, the outcome is not going to be good for you. And if you oppose the Muslim ruler in that manner, it's going to be even worse. And the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, al-Qadr al-Kawni akbar shahid, The decree of the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla is establishing this. This is something that is established in the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla legislatively, and something that we can see in the universal decree. Anytime somebody opposes the rulers, the outcome is not good. The outcome is not good. Tell me one time in history that they opposed the ruler and the outcome was good, and the situation in the society got better. Can you think of an example? I can't either. So this is the case. So again, holding fast to the jama'ah, and holding fast to the people of knowledge and the correct understanding, and holding fast to the application of that knowledge. And from that is to not oppose the authorities. Is to not oppose the authorities and to be patient and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and to advise in the manner that is legislated. All of these benefits we see derived from the likes of these amazing narrations. After this, the author, he says, "Wa Nabi Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala man kharaja min at-ta'ati wa faraqa al-jama'ata famata mata mitatan jahiliyah wa man qatala tahta rayatin 'ammiyah yaghdabu li'asabatin aw yad'u ila 'asabatin aw yansuru 'asabatan faqutila فقتلة جاهلية ومن خرج على أمتي يضرب برها وفاجرها ولا يتحاشى من مؤمنها ولا يفي لذي عهد عهده فليس مني ولست منه رواه مسلم After this, the author, he mentions the narration of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه and the meaning of which is he who abandons obedience and separates from the community, from the jama'ah, and then he dies. He abandons obedience, meaning obedience to the ruler. Obedience to the ruler. And he dies. And while in a state of revolution, in contradiction to this principle, and he will die the death of the pre-Islamic times. And he will die the death of Jahiliyyah. And he not meaning that he would disbelieve in this manner, but it's an indication this is a major sin and a major affair. He will die the way that they died. They died in a state of trial and tribulation. Instead of chaos. And this is what happens whenever you oppose the ruler. This is the ways of al-jahiliyyah from the days of old. So those who do that and die in that manner, they have a resemblance to the people of al-jahiliyyah because they used to do the same thing. They were also divided and not united, and they also refused to obey any authorities. And they died in chaos and in turmoil. And the one from this ummah who does similar, then he will have a similar death. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who fights under a banner of ignorance, yani ra'y ammiya, yani de asaba, yani for tribalism or stubborn blind following for a person's party or for a person's tribe or for a person's particular people or man, so on and so forth. He has partisanship and he fights in this manner, and then he's killed. His death is like the death of the days of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic times, for the similar reason. This is how they used to fight. They used to fight for their people, and they had tribalism in a great manner, and they, regardless of whether their people were right or wrong, or whether it was justice or injustice, they would fight to death for them. And we've seen that was something that the Ansar, before Islam, they were a tribe with specifically, and there are two brothers, at Aus wal Khazraj, and then enmity came between the two of them, and these two tribes, they deviated and separated, and they would fight and kill each other just because one was from one tribe and the other was from another. Similar, so we can understand, the people in these lands today, like, what do we have? Bloods and Crips, right? He's got red on, kill him. He's got blue on, take him out. Why he's got blue on? SubhanAllah. Because he's got blue on, SubhanAllah. That's crazy, right? Doesn't even make sense. You're going to go harm somebody, take his life, or take his money, or the likes like this, just because he's wearing a particular color that you're not wearing? This is crazy. This is similar. He's from that tribe. Oh, that's it. Finish him. Like, this is how they would think. This is from the days of al-Jahiliyyah. So those similar like that, they have tribalism. They're stubborn. They're following their own ways, or their own madhhab, the way that they are brought up, and the ways of their forefathers, without observing the evidences of the Quran and Sunnah, without holding fast to the way of the Salaf. Then this is like those people of the Jahiliyyah and the different parties. And if a person, he is not careful, he'll be left to that way. And he'll be made fair seeming for him, and he will die in that manner. And the Prophet is telling us in this narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who dies in that manner, he dies like the way the people of Jahiliyyah died. Yani, this is a found in bad death. This is a found in bad death. The people who die a bad death, they have a bad outcome in the hereafter. The grave is bad for them and not good. And the resurrection is bad for them and not good. You understand that part? Somebody who died the death of Jahiliyyah, whatever bina, or similar to the death of a Jahiliyyah, then the grave is not a place of mercy and kindness for him. It's not a place of happiness and ease and peace for him. It's a place of torment and torture. And that which happens on the day of resurrection and the hellfire is worse than that. It's worse than that. But as for those who die upon the sunnah, Allahu Akbar, those who die upon al-Islam and the sunnah, then they die upon al-khair. And that which they go to is nothing but peace and happiness and joy and ease in the grave. And that which is prepared for them in the hereafter is even better. That which the eyes have not even seen, nor the ears have even heard, never even crossed the mind of a human being before. This is the promise of Allah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with, granting glad tidings for these, for those who believe, and as a warner for those who turn away and reject faith or rebel in disobedience. So this is an amazing narration. After this, in the same narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, or giving victory, or calling people to partisanship, or giving victory to a party, and then he's killed. His death is like the death of the pre-Islamic times, and the death of the Jahiliyyah. And he goes out against my people, and the one who revolts against my people, and he revolts against the Muslim authority, and those who are under his authority, revolting against the society, and he raises his sword, striking the righteous and the virtuous, and likewise the wicked. And he does not distinguish between those who are good and those who are not good. He wipes them all out, similar to like they're doing today, right? They blow up a bomb, taking out the good and the bad, the man and the woman, the old one and the young one, regardless of their case. If they're in the spot where they're at that time, in the market or in the masjid, whatever they claim, Allahu Akbar, and they blow them all up. Wadiyadu billah. This is from the ways of Jahiliyyah, the ways of deviation, the ways of misguidance. This is not from the ways of Islam. This is not pleasing to Allah. This is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not jihad fi sabilillah. This is jihad fi sabili shaitan wa liyadu billah wal hawa. This is striving and fighting in the path of the devil and desires. This is not correct and not proper. We should not be deceived. So then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not keeping away from those who are believers, nor observing the covenants which have been made, has nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with him. Look at this clarification that has come. He's not keeping away from the believers, nor does he observe the covenants. This is likewise the ways of the Khawarij. And the people who come to America from the outer countries, the people who come to America from the foreign countries, in order to enter America, what do you have to do? At bare minimum, you have to get a visa, or you have to get a green card, or the likes like this. And that is a covenant, right? You make a contract that you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, you're going to be peaceful, so on and so forth. So then, if you've signed a covenant, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslimun ala shurutihim. So from the attributes, and the Muslims, they abide by their conditions. So from the attributes of the people who die the bad death, the death of al-Jahiliyyah, is that they revolt against the society, and they raise weapons against the Muslims, and they do not distinguish who they fight and go against, whether he's righteous or upright, or whether he's wicked and evil, and they do not observe the covenants. Rather, they violate them and they betray them. From the worst traits and characteristics person can be described with is betrayal. From the worst characteristics a person can be described with is betrayal. Yosef, you have my covenant. You have my oath. I will not do this. I will not do that. And then openly he does it. Or even in his heart, he knows he's going to violate it. This is from the worst of traits. This is called khiyana. This narration again is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. In these narrations, we have a number of benefits. From that, bayan wujub ta'at al-imam wa luzum al-jama'at al-muslimin, the obligation of obeying the Muslim authorities and holding fast to the congregation of the Muslims who are under the authority of a ruler and not revolting against him. Wa bayan taghlib fi man qatala tahta ra'ayat al-ummiyyah, and the clarification of the stern threat and warning for the person who fights under the banner of tribalism or stubborn fanaticism. And from the benefits, likewise, wujubi nasb al-imam, the obligation of establishing a ruler and an authority that will govern the body of Muslims. Also, we see from these narrations and evidences. From these evidences, tahrimu mukhalafati ijma' al-muslimin, the prohibition from opposing the consensus of the Muslims. Wa annahu wajib al-ittiba', and that the consensus is an obligation to follow. The consensus is an obligation to follow. If there's a consensus on a particular issue, it's not allowed to violate that. It's not allowed to oppose that. If the Muslims, they agree upon something, the people have knowledge from them, and it's established that there's an ijma' with regard to this issue, it's an obligation to follow it. And it's an evidence and a proof, and it's not allowed to oppose it. The verses that we've seen in these texts here, likewise, in these narrations, verify and clarify these affairs. Also from the benefits here, أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ تَحْتَ طَاعَةِ إِمَامِهِ فَقَدْ شَابَهَ أَهْلَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي ذَلِكَ. And whoever does not consider himself under the obedience or under the authority of the Muslim ruler in his land, then indeed he's imitating and resembling the people of al-Jahiliyyah with regards to that. فَإِمَّاتَ عَلَى تِلْكَ الْحَالَةِ مَاتَ عَلَى مِثْلِ حَالَتِهِمْ. And if he dies in that state, he will die in the way that they die, and he's similar to their manner. So this is the worst thing to do, to imitate the people of Jahiliyyah, to imitate the people of Jahiliyyah until one dies in that manner. فَمَاتَ فَمِيتَتُهُمْ جَهِلِيَّةٌ فَقُتِلَ فَقِتْلَةٌ جَهِلِيَّةٌ. This is all clear evidences from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the dangers of revolting against the rulers. The dangers of revolting against the rulers, meaning the dangers in the hereafter. Not to mention the ills and problems that come about in this life, but the dangers that a person is exposing his soul to, he's exposing his deen to, he's exposing his hereafter to. And in violating these rights is the destruction of a person's dunya and his akhirah. A person's dunya and his akhirah. The one who continues on that way until he dies, it's afraid for him. It's feared for him that maybe he will die upon a deen other than al-Islam. It's afraid for one like him, if he continued upon that way, that he would die, yani on a deen or a way other than al-Islam, yani from the great violation of this affair. فَلْيَحْذَرْ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ أَمْرِهِ فَلْيَحْذَرْ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ أَمْرِهِ تُصِيبُهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ تُصِيبُهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. The author, he says, Hafidhullah. The author, he says, Hafidhullah. وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلْزَمُوا هَذِهِ الطَّاعَةَ وَالْجَمَاعَةَ فَإِنَّهُ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِهِ وَإِنَّمَا تَقْرَهُونَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفُرْقَةِ. It's been narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that he says, hold fast to disobedience and to the jama'ah, and to the Muslim authority, the obedience of and the congregation under the authority of the Muslim ruler. فَإِنَّهُ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِهِ, because it is the rope of Allah that Allah ordered. We have seen likewise previously that from the interpretation of Ibn Mas'ud of the حَبْلُ اللَّهِ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا and the حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْجَمَاعَةِ. This is what he's referring to here. And then he mentioned a great benefit, رضي الله عنه, وَإِنَّمَا تَقْرَهُونَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفُرْقَةِ. And that what you dislike while you're united behind the Muslim ruler is better than that which you like whenever you're divided. Whenever you're divided, the situations that you dislike while you're united in comparison to the delights that you might find when you're divided, it's like nothing. Again, the evidence is clarified this, and likewise so does the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that which has happened is the greatest evidence likewise for this. And ask people who have experienced firsthand with the likes of these situations and how they wish that it had never happened. They never revolted. They never protested. They never went to the street. And they never went to the street. Now that the father's dead, or the mother's dead, or the child's dead, or the people are divided, the people are separated, the houses are finished, the block is demolished, the job is gone, the poverty is struck. So many problems have come. So many problems have come. And then the worst thing about it is that we are not opening our eyes
and we're not taking a lesson.
They didn't hear, and then the people here did not take a lesson. They let the same thing happen to them, and they let the same thing happen to them time after time. Look at that. They're trying to make the domino effect all the way until it comes to Mecca and Medina. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. The people who are encouraging these affairs are non-Muslims. The people who are benefiting from these affairs are non-Muslims. The enemies of Islam. They're laughing at us. They're laughing at us. So do not aid them and help them in this affair. Rather, learn the religion, learn the sunnah, learn the methodology, and hold fast to that and be patient. He says here, Rawahu ibn Abi Shayba. This narration from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was narrated by Ibn Abi Shayba. And he has a book called Musannaf, very famous and beneficial. وَصَحَّهَهُ الْحَاكِمُ عَلَى شَرْطِ بُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمِ. And Imam Hakim rahimahullah, he authenticated this narration on the condition that Bukhari and Muslim. He says, now وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قضم الملح في الجماعة أحب إلي من أكل الفالوذج في الفرقة. قضم الملح في الجماعة أحب إلي من أكل الفالوذج في الفرقة. Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he says, biting on salt and eating salt while in the jama'ah is more beloved to me than eating al-faludhaj, which is a type of sweet and a delicacy, while we're divided and separated. While we're divided and separated. The fact that we'll be united and I'm biting on salt, I'm eating salt, it's more beloved to me than us being divided and in chaos and turmoil and having some sweets and some delicious food. Right? Because many times whenever a person is in this furqa, he will find himself eating alone. Because his family is gone and divided and split, or they have been murdered, or they've been killed, or they're lost. Musharradun, muqattalun, subhanallah. So even if he comes across something sweet, he's going to be alone by himself. Or he's going to be eating it in the dirt or in the dust. Or he's going to be so many hardships and heartaches are going to be on him because of the turmoil that he's facing. He's not even going to truly be able to take a bite of the pie. Maybe he found a pie, but because of the situation that he's in, he's sitting on a curb that's half destroyed and broken, or sitting in his house is destroyed and demolished, and he's looking at his home, and he just buried his mother, and his daughter is in his hand dead. We've seen the likes of these things. This is what happens in furqa. So if you got some sweets right here, you're not going to enjoy that. You're not going to be able to enjoy that because of the agonies and the pains that come about from the turmoil and chaos, from revolutions, from Arabic Springs. We understand that. This is what Ibn Abbas, you know, he's a companion, right? He died a long time ago, right? So, radiallahu anhu, this is not Ibn Mas'ud, he's a companion, right? And Ibn Mas'ud, he died in 32. Ibn Abbas, he died in like 67, 68, around this time. And he's, this is advice that's golden from the days of old. This is a methodology that's proper and correct and that's well known. And those who oppose it, they have nothing but humiliation. And this is known likewise and tried and tested. So we must take a lesson and learn. Here the author, he says, وَرَاهُ أَبُو نُعَيْمِ الْأَسْبَحَانِ فِي حِلَّةِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَالْبَيْحَقِي فِي شُعَبِ الْإِيمَانِ وَاللَّوْضُ لَهُ وَإِسْنَادُهُ ضَعِيفٌ. That this narration has been narrated by Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani in his book حِلَّةِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, and also by al-Bayhaqi in his book شُعَبْ الْإِيمَانِ. This, and the wording here is by al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah, and the chain of this narration is weak. So although the chain of this narration is weak, so the ascription to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is not established or affirmed, but the meaning is correct and well known, and in accordance with a number of narrations. It's known that what is disliked in the time of unity, even if there are hardships, even if there's oppression, even if there's inflation, is much better than any sweet or delicacy one may find whenever there's turmoil and chaos and dissension and revolution. Separation and war. Understand? This is very clear. May Allah help us to see it and to follow it. So he says, Hafidhullah, qala Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he mentioned, Rahimahullah, إذا رأيت القوم يتناجون في دينهم دون العامة فاعلم أنهم على تأسيس ضلالة. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Rahimahullah, he died in the year 101. From the Tabi'een and from the righteous leaders of Al-Islam, any of those who are from the righteous people in authority in his day, he says that if you see a people consulting in private about affairs in the religion without the society or the common people knowing, then know that they're establishing misguidance. Then know that they're attempting to establish misguidance. And this is because the affair about Islam and the issues of knowledge is taught and spread on an open basis. There's nothing secret in Islam. There's no secrets in the deen of Allah. There's no secret understanding of the Quran that no one can obtain. There's no secret understanding that's special only for a special group of people. Rather, the people who truly understand and benefit from the Quran are the people of knowledge, and everyone has the opportunity to be from them. Everyone has the opportunity to strive and to learn and to seek knowledge, to become from the people of knowledge, to understand and have a solid foundation. So no doubt, from the Muslims, the highest of them are, as we've seen, are the people of knowledge and the devout worshippers. And the people of knowledge, no doubt, they're a category of people. But it's not restricted to a lineage. It's not restricted to a special lineage. Only this lineage can be from the people of knowledge or have this level of knowledge. And only people from this tribe or from this group or the likes like this. Rather, it's open. It's open for this reason. We have seen a number of the greatest scholars of hadith and the best of the imams of the sunnah, they're at one time slaves, meaning they had the lowly lineage. But Allah favored them with knowledge until they became from the best of the people, like Al-Hasan al-Basri. How many times have we heard this name? Al-Hasan al-Basri, and so much wisdom that he's mentioned, the benefits from his statements. He died in the year 110. He's coming from, he was a slave. His family were slaves. Muhammad ibn Sirin, likewise, his father was a slave. He was in Iraq. Whenever the Muslims conquered Iraq, his father was in the church reading the Bible, and his lands were conquered. And he was taken into captivity. And in captivity, he accepted Islam. And he was in the hands of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and then he would set him free. And then Sirin, he had a son named Anas, and a daughter named, and a son named Muhammad, and a daughter named Hafsa. And they become from the best of the scholars of hadith. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's from the narrative of hadith. You find his narration in Bukhari and Muslim. And likewise, Hafsa, she narrates hadith. Yeah, she's a narrator of hadith as well. And subhanAllah. So they at one time were slaves, but because of knowledge and sincere faith, they become from the best of the people. So it's not restricted or limited to a certain people. Those who are spreading knowledge in secret and keeping things hidden from the people, this is a sign of misguidance and deviation. This is a sign of misguidance and deviation, because a true believer upon the proper path, he has nothing to hide. Rather, he's up front letting everybody know. He hopes everybody will accept the call. He's hoping that everybody will accept Islam and go to Jannah. He's hoping that everybody will follow the Sunnah and be upright. This is what he wants for the people. But the hearts are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But this is what a caller he calls to. And this is what a Muslim he hopes for the people, that they will be guided. And this is the exact trait of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's so diligent to call the people and to be patient with them and to be forbearing with them until his head is split and his tooth is chipped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say, Allahumma fir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people because they did not know. So again, this is a clear way of seeing the people who have bad intentions, of identifying the people who have bad intentions, that they gather together in the house, in the home, secretly plotting and doing issues related to the religion, keeping the rest of the people in blindness about these affairs until they rise up, and then all chaos is found. So the means of success, barakallahu fikum, the means of happiness, the means of savior, it goes back to the chapter that had preceded, the chapter about seeking knowledge. If we seek knowledge properly, with the correct intention, from the correct sources, little by little, and build a strong foundation, then we will have goodness in our life. This is the means to bring goodness into our life, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. And knowledge is light. We'll be able to see, be able to understand. You will not be fooled easily. You will not be misused by the devils of jinn and mankind. You will be able to know the proper path and the correct way and make the correct judgments in these affairs. Whenever the people are confused, where it's not clear for them, it will be clear for you. Be clear for you, because you're standing on a solid foundation. You have principles that are derived from the clear evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. You're upon a way that is clear, the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us upon. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَّهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكٌ. Indeed, I left you upon the clear path, like the white path. It's not as like its day. Nobody deviates from it except for he will perish. Except for he will perish. So the means of savior, success, safety, in this life and the hereafter, lies in seeking knowledge with a pure intention, believing in Allah in the last day, and hoping to learn that knowledge to apply it, to abide by it, to apply it and to abide by it. And deviation and misery and sorrow comes by neglecting that affair and remaining upon ignorance, or learning and seeking knowledge from the wrong sources, not following the correct way, or obtaining lots of knowledge and then opposing it in application and not applying it properly, or using that knowledge with the other billah to manipulate the people and to have status or rank or position and authority. It has been narrated by Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, "Inna akwaman ibtagaw al-ibada, ibtagaw al-ibadata wa adau al-ilma." That indeed there were individuals, there are people who desire to worship Allah. They desire to engage themselves in worship. وَأَضَعُوا الْعِلْمَ, and they neglected knowledge. Individuals, they advanced upon worship, but they neglected knowledge. And he said, رَحِيمُهُمْ فَخَرَجُوا عَلَى أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ بِأَسْيَافِهِمْ. So they wound up revolting against the Ummah of Muhammad with their swords. وَرَبْتَغُوا الْعِلْمَ لَحَاجَزَهُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And had they sought knowledge, it would have prohibited them from that. It would have prohibited them from that. So how do these people wind up revolting against the rulers and fighting the Muslims with their swords or with weapons in the likes like this? How does this occur? Because they neglected knowledge and they belittled the people of knowledge. They did not learn from the proper sources in the proper manner. From the proper sources in the proper manner. Had they learned from the proper sources in the proper manner, that knowledge will stop them from doing that. That because knowledge is a light for you and a guide for you, and it will protect you and keep you safe from falling into these deviations and from falling into these traps and these tricks and this doubts and misconceptions. It will be a light for you and goodness for you. So those people who fall into this way, it's because they want to do good, but they do not take the proper path. And that is to learn correctly, little by little, until a person, he has a solid foundation and he's upon al-Islam and the Sunnah with clarity. He's upon the Quran and the Sunnah in clarity. He knows his religion. He will say sincerely and truthful in his heart, Rabbi Allah, Alladhi Rabbani, Rabba Jameel Alameen bi ni'amihi, huwa ma'budi laysa li ma'budun siwa. He knows who his Lord is. Nabi Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my prophet is Muhammad. Dini al-Islam, al-Islam alladhi ja'a bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My religion, my path, my way of life, that which I'm upon is that Islam. The Islam that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came in. This is what knowledge will do for you. By the permission of Allah azza wa jal, you will be upon clarity. You will know your Lord. You will know your Prophet. You will know your religion. You will know yourself. Ana abdun. I'm a slave. Ana abdul makhluhul marbub. I'm a slave. I'm a creature. I'm created. I'm provided for and sustained. I'm going to return to Allah azza wa jal. He's going to ask me. So this is the benefit of knowledge, and those who are deficient in this affair, they'll be wiped out in this life from the waves of desires and the waves of lust that are impermissible, and the ocean of doubts and misconceptions and innovations. What do you have to be? So the author mentions now some benefits. He says, وَفِيهِ مَسَائِلٌ الْأُولَى الْأَمْرُ بِلُزُومِ الْجِمَاعِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْفُرْقَةِ. From the benefits of this chapter is the order to hold fast to the jama'ah and the prohibition of being divided. الثانية وَعِيدُ مَنْ اتَّبَعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the second benefit is the threat for those who follow a way other than that of the believers. And we've seen that the head of the believers is a Sahaba. And the head of the Sahaba is Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhum jameen. الثالثة أن التفرق من دين المشركين والاجتماع من دين المسلمين. That dividing and being separated in different parties and groups is the religion and way of life of the pagans and polytheists. And unification and being unified in unity is the deen of the Muslims. As the deen of the Muslims. So division and separation and being a different parties and sects is the deen of al-mushrikeen. And being united and upright upon one way together is the deen of al-murtadeen. The deen of al-muslimeen. This is the way of the believers. But unity is upon the rope of Allah. Not upon desires and whims. Not upon customs and cultures. The deen The unity is by learning the proper creed. By learning the proper فَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And you became by his grace and his blessing, فَأَسْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And you by his blessing became brothers. The blessing that they became brothers was the blessing of Al-Islam. It's the blessing of Al-Islam. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. The blessing of Al-Islam. This is the way to become brothers. This is the way to become unified. So, barakallahu fikum, we must understand that unity, there's a praiseworthy aspect and there's a blameworthy aspect. Being unified in the hearts upon the Quran and the Sunnah, the proper creed and understanding and methodology and way, and obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in public and private, this is praiseworthy. Being unified upon anything other than that is blameworthy. It's blameworthy. Maybe somebody, they'll be unified. They'll all agree together, right? But in reality, they're together in this issue, but their hearts are divided. This is the ways of the hypocrites. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. So maybe they all get together and they all roll both and all together, but in reality, they don't like each other. In reality, they don't like each other. So the only way to be truly united is to unite the hearts. And that's by way of the blessing of Al-Islam. Al-Islam, the Islam that the Prophet ﷺ came with. And also similarly like this. جزاكم الله خيرًا. There's two aspects of being divided. One is praiseworthy and one is blameworthy. So not every aspect of unification is praiseworthy, right? Some unification could be blameworthy. People unify upon batil. They say, we'll unify together for what we agree upon and we'll just overlook what we disagree upon. And he worships graves, no problem. Just come with me. We can all go protest. You curse Abu Bakr al Habas on the billah. What do you have the billah? Right? No problem. Let's take care of business and get this handled. No, you know, this is unity that's blameworthy. هذا اجتماع اجتماع مذموم مذموم. As for الاجتماع على الدين على الحق والهدى على ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه فهذا اجتماع محمود محمود ممدوح. You understand? This is the case. Then the same thing with تفرق. That not every تفرق is blameworthy, because we see here, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not be divided. And it do not be divided in any of the ways of the mushrikeen. Do not be divided into different sects in opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his guidance. As for dividing and being separate from the people of falsehood, then this is praiseworthy. This is praiseworthy. Those who curse Abu Bakr, I'm not with them. I'm separate from them. They're over there. I'm not with them at all. They're in that corner. I'm not with them. Those who worship graves, I'm not with them. I'm not with them. I don't worship graves. And I'm not brothers with people who worship graves. People who worship graves and cause the graves, no, I'm not with them. I'm not with them. I'm separate from them. At-tafarraq, we not tafarraq. Hada khalas. La. Ana dini al-Islam. Ana wahid Allah. I'm going to worship Allah with tawheed. That's for sure. I don't do that. Bid'ah? No, I don't do that. I'll separate myself from the bid'ah. Don't get a who like this. I don't do that part. I'm separating myself from them. I don't do that part. I'm not with them. I'm not with them. The Naqshbandiyya and the Tijaniyya and the Wajmaqadiyya. I'm not with them. We're not with them. We're with the people of the Sunnah. We're the people of the Sunnah. We're the people who follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who follow the Quran and the Hadith that are in Bukhari and Muslim. The Hadith is authentic in Sunan Abi Dawood and the Tirmidhi and the Nisa'i and Ibn Majah. We're following the way that is established from Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And the likes like that, Hamad ibn Salama, the great scholars of Hadith, Imam ibn Ahmad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and before him, Shafi'i, before him, Imam Malik. We followed that way, alhamdulillah. As for these other ways, no, we're not doing that. So to separate from the people of falsehood is praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy. As for separating from the truth, following customs, following cultures, following tariqah, mukharifa, Tariq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. You understand? This is blameworthy. So we must understand these points. He says here, Al-Rabi'ah, Khayru al-Dunya wal-Akhirah fi luzum al-Jama'ah. Khayru al-Dunya wal-Akhirah fi luzum al-Jama'ah. The fourth benefit is that the good of this life and the hereafter is in holding fast to the Jama'ah. Is in holding fast to the Jama'ah, any to the truth and to the obedience of the Muslim ruler. To the obedience of the Muslim ruler. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, he mentioned here in his explanation of the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. The hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bil jama'ah, alaykum bil sam'i wa ta'ah. Huh? Alaykum bil sam'i wa ta'ah. They must hold fast to the Muslim. Alaykum bil sam'i wa ta'ah. He says, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, وَأَمَّا السَّمْعُ وَطَاعَةُ لِوُلَاتِ أُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَمَّا السَّمْعُ وَطَاعَةُ لِوُلَاتِ أُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَفِيهَا سَعَادَةُ الدُّنْيَا وَبِهَا تَنْتَظِمُ مَصَالِحُ الْعِبَادِ فِي مَعَايِشِهِمْ وَبِهَا يَسْتَعِينُونَ عَلَى إِظْهَارِ دِينِهِمْ وَطَاعَةِ رَبِّهِمْ. This is the end of his statement. Ibn Rajab, he died in the year 794. He said, listening and obeying the Muslim rulers, and this is the happiness and delight, the happiness and joy of this life. And in this manner, the best interests of the people are established in their worldly affair. And by this way, they're able to establish and make their religion apparent, and they're able to establish the worship of their Lord, their worship of their Lord. Whenever the Muslims are united in obedience to the Muslim ruler, they're able to establish their job, their work, their occupation. They're able to go to the masjid. They're able to go to Jumu'ah. They're able to establish the five daily prayers. They're able to sit and learn in the masjid, to spread knowledge, to seek knowledge, so on and so forth. But whenever the revolution comes, all of these things, they come to an end. The jobs are lost. It's not safe to go on the street. The masajid are closed. And worse than that. So this is not the call of the Wahhabiyya, or this is not the call of the Madkhaliyya, or the Jamia, or whatever the names that they make. Ibn Rajab, he died in the year 795, and these are narrations narrated by Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand this? This is not a new way, a new innovative way. This is not any loving the Muslim ruler because he's the Muslim ruler and bowing down to. Nah, this is Deen. This is deen. In doing this, you will find happiness and joy in your life when you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And in this manner, the society will be correct, even if the Muslim ruler is corrupted. Even if he has ills, he has problems. The ills that you have while you're united is nothing compared to the ills that come about when you're divided. He says here, Al-Khamisa, أَنَّ مَنْ فَرَقَ جَمَاعًا فَمَاتَ فَمِيتَتُهُ جَاهِرِيَّةً. The fifth benefit is that the one who opposes, revolts against the jama'ah, and he dies the death of al-jahiliyyah. As-sadisa, حَمْدُ عَقِبَتِهِ لُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ مَا فَقْدِي الْعَبْدِ مَحْبُوبَهُ فِيهَا وَسُوءُ عَقِبَةِ الْفُرْقَةِ مَعَ حُصُولِهِ. The sixth benefit is the praiseworthy outcome of the one who holds fast to the jama'ah, along with the fact that maybe he misses out on something that he likes. And the foul outcome of dissension and division and revolution, even if a person, he found something sweet and delightful, any for a moment. السَّابِعَ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ يَتَنَاجَى الْقَوْمُ فِي أَمْرِ دِينِهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ دُونَ عَامَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The seventh benefit is that it's from misguidance that a people, they will consult in private together in the affairs of the religion, excluding the general population of the Muslims. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.